The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Happy Christmas Eve. It's B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell.
Toby, you're in the Christmas spirit. You got that sweater on, huh?
I was wearing the Redskins Santa hat yesterday, too.
Oh, boy.
We got to get rolling, man. Christmas is tomorrow. It's crazy, by the way. I was thinking about this. I can't believe it's already Christmas. If you know, the football season's just two more games left in the regular season.
Yeah.
It's crazy we're there. But at the same point, Tampa feels like a year and a half ago.
It does. I mean, this thing flew by. Like that little saying that time flies when you're having fun. Time has flown this year.
It's been fun.
I can remember being in Tampa before the game. We were out there playing golf. Then we get to the game. And I'm like, oh, man, we let one slide because we made too many mistakes. And we're sitting at 10-5 right now with two games
left. It's crazy.
I mean, this thing flew by, but you know what? I'm happy. I'm a happy old camper right now with this team. Kind of afraid I made this little weird-ass bet at the beginning of the season. But
well, I think that's the thing. I heard the Junks talking about, like, what's your Christmas wish? I think for this program, you got to get one more win. That's the wish, right? I mean, landfill, it's one more win. I don't care if it's against Atlanta. I don't care if it's against Dallas. One more win to get to 11 wins.
Well, I don't think they really care about the 11 wins. They just care about I got to put on a tutu.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what we care about. Man, we got to see B. Mitch in the tutu.
I've had more people starting to send me this, like little Photoshops on Instagram, and then I got my buddy sent one. I'm gonna show you this, Toby. It's going to trip you out. It's a little troubling. And I think my friend Mark Wimbush, he's troubling. This is the – look at this. Tutu ballerina look like they a weightlifter, right?
At least you got some tone there on the arms.
Now, too much damn tone. Jeff, you got, look at this.
That's fantastic, by the way. That's great.
You definitely, you got to do a dance in that tutu, bro. You got to dance around.
Hey, man,
tequila,
listen.
Sombrero.
I'm probably going to find me something probably before the game this weekend. I'm just going to bring it in my bag. And I have to do the show after the game in it if they get the win this week.
Oh, that's lit.
I love it.
You know, I'm going to make a Command Center post-game live go viral on your ass. I'm going to find a way to get some more money out this thing if I'm going to put that damn tutu on.
Must watch TV.
Have you decided on a color tutu, or are you just going to go with whatever you first see?
Hey, man, I'm going to have to match up. Burgundy and gold, baby.
There you go.
I was about to say, it got to be burgundy.
I'm not wearing no pink.
Yeah, it got it
right now.
I'm good with any color, honestly. I'm good with whatever B-Mitch
chooses. You know what? It's like you talk about stuff seeming so long ago. Actually, that was so long ago when I said that. I had forgotten I said it. And these two little bastards right here, they made sure.
Oh, they're not going to forget.
You remember what you said? I'm like, I say that.
Listen, Jeff ain't going to remember much. He'll remember that.
He doesn't remember much. He don't keep everything in track. But I guarantee you he has the damn audio of that.
He keeps the stuff he needs, right? The necessary stuff.
Man, necessities only, baby. Necessities only.
Necessities only, absolutely. It's a bit of a treacherous drive in today with some of that sleet and whatever on the roads. Luckily, we all made it in here safe. We're all good to go. Last night, though, Monday Night Football, we were talking a little pre-show. The Saints are terrible.
They're bad.
And it's funny, too, because, like, guys that you could depend on, guys that you feel really good about, like DeMario Davis, Chris Brooks is breaking a tackle when he's got him wrapped up. Like, Josh Jacobs looks like he was running against high schoolers last night.
Yeah.
It was wild to watch, like, how bad they look.
When you get in situations where they don't trust Rattler. They know a lot of other people. Listen, they in the locker room with those guys every day. And I know people would say, oh, no, we still fighting. No damn way possible. I can remember back in the day, and this is no stretch of the truth. This is 100%. We might have played Arizona, like the last game of the season. There were people in their parking lot, the players' parking lot, there were U-Hauls on the back of the damn trucks. They were ready to go.
There's ready to roll.
No way that they could be telling me they're caring about the game when you already have packed up to move after the game. You know, and that happens sometimes. People pack it up. If you don't have the proper leadership in your locker room, you're not going to be able to finish up a game strong. Like, you know, people always say, man, finish strong. Human beings, it's hard for you to really push when you know there's nothing waiting on the other side.
What was the worst team you played on record wise?
Oh man, 3-13.
3-13?
Yeah.
What was that like down the stretch?
Oh, I was trying to be the guy that said, man, we gotta fight through this. And I there were guys probably looking at me like, this fool out of his damn mind, man. I'm trying to get this damn season over with. But you know, you push it because I had Monty Coleman like that, always pushing us. No matter if we had a good record, bad record, he was always thinking ahead, what you need to be doing next. And I tried to emulate what he was as I went through my career. I had people basically giving me the one finger salute, like, man, to hell with that. You know, you getting paid. They like you. I'm going to probably be gone. I'm not doing anything else. They trying to stay healthy for the next season.
What's harder, going into the game, or is it the week of practice where you're like, I don't want to be out here?
You know, practice is way tougher than games. Games, you always feel you're out there putting your stuff on display for others that might like you. You know, you get to a point where I always tell people, you know, don't just read the writing on the wall. Understand what the hell it says. So some people read it and they understand it and they know I have to impress somebody else. So when the game comes and you got the camera on, you want to get it done. Practice sometimes, that's the most tedious stuff in the world. And you don't want to, you damn sure don't want to be out there, especially when it gets to this time of the year.
Yeah, no kidding.
And let's be real, there was no such thing as bubbles back in the days. So you were outside in this crap the time.
And by the way, I'm sure they weren't light practices like they are nowadays.
Nah,
they
man. Were still we didn't have these walkthroughs. It was a difference. But, you know, you understand it. But I had some people tell me some stuff. And Buffalo. Detroit, Philly also, and that's when they went on that 10-game winning streak. Detroit does it. They've been doing it for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
When you watch them on Hard Knocks, they were actually going at it.
Yeah, that viral clip of Dan Campbell basically saying, look, man, if there was another way, I'd do it, but this is the best way.
But think about it. You get 10 to 14 full padded practices, and there are people that finish the season and have practices left.
Yeah.
How is that possible in a game of pro football, tackle football?
I mean,
I understand people always say, oh, man, you know, they just trying to protect the players, man. You don't understand. I did this for 14 years in a barbaric state, barbaric age, and I did not run around tackles and all that crap. If you're going to play this game and be very good at it, you better be able to go through with practice like you're going to play it because – I know people say you can just hit a light switch. No, you can't. If you don't practice a certain way, it's going to be hard to carry on the whole season that way.
Well, it's like what I was talking with Doc before the season. The best way to get better at football,
play football.
Is playing football.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like if you're going to try to water it down, you're not necessarily going to get better. You might be able to work through some processes, but as soon as you get hit in the mouth, it's totally different.
See, I know rules, and like my little saying is always, the rules have been changed to protect players. I understand. But you know who better protects players? Players. You know, if you go on the field thinking they can't hit me here, they can't hit me there, you're about to get hurt. If you go on the field and say, you know what, I have taken my body through stuff in the offseason to where I know what I can do this season, then you rarely ever have a problem. You know what I mean?
Well, and you get some of these guys, you know, I love watching Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen's falling into this a little bit now, too, where they start exaggerating stuff. Patrick Mahomes loves doing that thing where he runs to the last second of the sideline. The defender pulls up, then he runs up the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
Blast him one time.
Listen to me, dude. And that's what I say. The league, yes. If you're going to try and protect the quarterbacks and protect certain offensive players, you need to protect the defensive player, too. Like the other day, who was a kid came into the game? Pickett.
Yeah.
And he slid like last second.
Mm-hmm.
They picked the flag up. I applaud the league for that. If you are a quarterback, slide. Be deliberate and let the person know you're going down. You're giving up your body. And then if they hit you, I am on the side of the, you got to protect him. But if he waits till the absolute last second when you already have committed to hitting him, then he slides, no problem. Whatever. Dude, you should have slid before. That's just like if I were back catching a punt and you're where you at in our fair catch and you hit me, you're in trouble. But if I wait till you get right here, then decide to put my hand up late, that's my fault.
Yeah.
You know, and they will do it like that. They will call late fair catch. Same thing with these quarterbacks sliding. And Pat is exceptional at it. I did it in high school and college. I'll be running to the sideline, slowing up. I'm coming back on you.
Heck, Pickett, remember at Pitt when he was still in college, did the fake slide, kept running?
And kept going. Yeah.
So
I would hit him and just say, hey, you saw what he did in college. I didn't want it to happen.
Well, and I think, too, I mean, we talked about this before the season with Jaden. I think he's got that, right? He understands if I'm going to slide. He slides, and he slides early enough. He started to do the thing that some of the people were talking about when Trevor Lawrence, where he kind of rolls and goes forward. You still really can't hit the quarterback in that of state.
See, this is what people forget. At one point, if you went head first, you get all the distance. When you go feet first, you used to get it right where you started. In this day and age of football, if you start to do the roll, you get the ball where you start. So you watch, Jaden has come in and he did the roll, and they come back and they put it where he initiated to go down. But if the player is going to hit him farther down the field, then that player should be getting the penalty.
Correct.
You know, because if the player is giving his body up, you're gonna bring the ball back to that spot. You got to protect him in that sense.
Yeah, and I appreciate that there's a little more common sense. Remember a couple years ago, Washington was playing Green Bay at Lambeau, and Heinicke dove, and they ruled him down at the one because his knee hit.
Oh, yeah.
That's no common sense. At least there's some common sense that you're giving yourself up going forward. You're not getting the extra yardage of rolling. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, heck, you know what would happen. Like, Josh Allen would do that and roll and then get up and keep running again. So I appreciate that they're doing that because – you know, they talked about this with Lawrence. When you at least kind of curl up into a ball and go forward.
He slid late now.
He definitely slid late, but you're vulnerable there.
Yeah, but that's the thing about it. Don't do it. What they're trying to get every piece of every inch of it and try to fool the defensive player, but then you don't have any responsibility yourself. I've always felt I had to protect me more than the referee is going to protect me and more than the rules are going to protect me. And if I sit out there and try to do something to deceive somebody, then I'm putting myself at risk. And listen, I know people are always like, oh, man, this is a violent sport, okay? If you want to play flag football, go play flag football. But if you get on that field, you're going to get hit by somebody.
Well, and that's also going back to Sunday. That's why I don't feel bad for Philly losing Jalen Hurts. If you run the quarterback, there's an inherent risk.
Hey, bro, everybody gets hit. And this is a sport where I don't care what position you play. If you play it long enough, there's 100% injury happens in this league. So if you play it long enough, you will get hit. Kicker, punter, whatever. You know, and like then people go, well, what? It's a part of the game. People get hurt. And if you build a roster without having legitimate backups, that's your problem.
Well, and I mean – well, look how Jaden got hurt. It's an innocent way, long run. Talked about.
He was trying to go down.
Trying to protect himself.
He was trying to slide, and the dude was too close.
So it happens, and that's why, you know, Philly, whatever. WIP can continue to worry about the excuses. Looking at the other side of last night's game, Green Bay.
I'm calling me from Philly.
How legit do you think Green Bay is? Like, you think that, you know, you look at the teams at the top right now. You've got Detroit at the top. Philly's 2. They're probably going to finish as the 2 seed. You've got Minnesota as the 5 seed. They're 13-2 as well. They could end up
passing
Detroit.
That's not a 5 seed right there.
But
that's a problem for somebody.
It's crazy, isn't it? 13-2?
Yes.
How legit are the Packers? Like, if they stay as the 6 seed, they would face, I believe right now, either the Falcons or the Rams.
Let's be real, man. That team has now a running back that is the type of guy who gives you problems late in the season.
Yeah.
Because a bigger running back, lower to the ground, bruising type of guy, when it gets cold, that's a problem to tackle. And then they have a legitimate receiving core. Little Kid Wicks from Plaquemine, Louisiana. Just so I throw that out there. You know, that was a little New Orleans dance last night he was doing on them. He scored and then put their own dance on them. But they had, and Jordan Love, hell, the Packers, you think about it. Brett Favre, Rodgers, him. They don't miss when it comes to quarterbacks.
Unbelievable.
But ultimately, when you have a quarterback like him and a running back, people forget their defense is not bad. You know, and the thing about them late in the season, just like when they went down to Dallas last year, late in the season, you want physicality. They bring that. You know, LaFleur was, everybody talking about LaFleur, the Shanahan and all that, like he's like Sean McVay, them. That dude's teams are physical.
Yeah.
And I think the teams that are the most physical down the stretch in this time of the year are the ones that can probably win more games.
Well, and the reason I think you're seeing a little bit better version, maybe not wins and losses wise, but maybe more of a threat in some ways of this team versus when Rodgers was there, is they are able to play more physical. Because you think of where Matt LaFleur came as an offensive coordinator. He was in Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's as physical as you get when you've got Derrick Henry back there. Yeah. You just hand the ball off to him 25 mm-hmm. times a game. So I think going on from Aaron Jones, who's a really good running back, but he's someone that you kind of limit his touches because he's smaller. You go to Jacobs.
Aaron
kind of
looks like a tweener in a sense. He's like a guy who can run the ball, but he seems more like a receiver. Like you just watch his running style, his whole body style. But when you are running a football with Josh, there comes a point in time where you go, you know what? My guy's better than your guys. And I'm going to just come down here and see if you want to keep hitting them. You know, that's the mindset that they could do. But they also have that dude sitting back there, Jordan Love, who will pick you apart if you don't put the pressure on him.
Well, and he's such an interesting guy because mm-hmm. he can throw some terrible picks, but he can also make some throws that not many dudes in the league can make. And he kills me all the time watching him beam Mitch because every single throw, it looks like he's fading away, and yet he's still got the arm strength to drive it down the field.
See, the thing I like about him is, like, you know, like you said, he'll throw a terrible pick, but he'll throw an unbelievable pass. He takes chances. He gives his guys chances. Like, what's my man, Watkins didn't score for me last night, Bastard. but him, dude, is what, 6'4", 6'3"?
Mm-hmm.
He'll throw it to him when people around him, and he'll go get it. And that's the thing that people had against Kirk, where Kirk wasn't going to take the chance. You know, he won't throw the interception. If you are a guy who gives your guys opportunities, you're going to throw some interceptions sometime. But you got to keep giving them opportunities. And when a receiver sees a quarterback give them opportunities, they're going to make those plays most times.
Well, and by the way, if it doesn't show how good of a general manager they have, because I was critical when I was there, I was wrong. Their receiving core is making nothing. Christian Watson's a pick, still on a rookie contract, Jaden Reed. But the other thing that they have that Washington is missing right now is Tucker Kraft, their tight end, is an animal. He's great in blocking game, but you get him the ball and just let him work after the catch.
But they have multiple,
that's what they're missing.
They have multiple receivers. Like, if Washington had gotten the output that they got in the last game from their receivers, just think about it. Crowder, 2 touchdowns. Zacchaeus, 2 touchdowns. Terry is doing what he's doing every week. If they had gotten more output like that every game, what would the record be now?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Green Bay gets. Those guys are not making big dollars. They're not big names, but they have output coming from their receiving core all the time, not just one guy.
We got Barstool Nate coming up at 11. AJ Perez from Front Office Sports joining us at 12:30 to talk about the RFK site. Next, Chris Long was talking about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. We'll hear from him next. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NFL playoffs are almost here, but it's not too late to get in on the regular season action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers can finish the season strong with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. FanDuel has so many ways for you to pick up the W. Not only can you bet on who will win the game, but FanDuel also has bets for which players will score a touchdown, how many points each team will score, and so much more. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. This way, you'll be all set for the biggest games of the year. That's FanDuel.com/Brian for your chance at $250 in bonus bets. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook with the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Jeff out here wearing schmediums to hang out on the show today. Appreciate that. Throwing on a hoodie to cover it up. Got to shout out the chat. I think Deb was first in the chat today, so Merry Christmas
what
to
up,
you,
Deb.
Appreciate everyone hanging out with us here on Christmas Eve. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. So, Chris Long, I'm not sure where. What is this from, Lamphill? Is this on his podcast? So, it was on his podcast. He was talking about Jaden and the Commanders game. Let's hear from Chris Long.
The guy, you're going to have to deal with him for a decade plus. Mm-hmm. I know Eagles fans want to say, hey, and yes, I think you win the game if Jalen's still the quarterback and he reinforces value by not being out there in a lot of ways. But this quarterback's not going anywhere in Washington. And he's throwing to Zach Ertz, Terry McLaurin, but they don't really have a number two that scares you. And they just started this build. Now, good thing for the Eagles is you just drafted a great nickel corner, a lockdown guy outside, and you've got these Georgia Bulldogs up front, including Jalen Carter. It's going to be fun for 10 years if you take the green hat off and you think about it like a football fan. It's going to be fun in the NFCs for the next decade. This little group of players is going to compete against each other and get to know each other real well.
It is going to be fun.
He's absolutely right.
You saw in that 10 seconds left when they're spiking the ball, Jalen Carter's diving, Jaden's talking with them.
Yeah. But see, the thing about it is you look at what has happened here, okay? Ownership change comes in, and Josh Harris' birthday coming up this weekend, so everybody wish me happy birthday. You get the right front office. Then you get a very charismatic quarterback who cares about winning, who cares about football, but doesn't get overwhelmed by much of nothing. And when you hear Chris Long, a former Eagle, saying, we got to deal with this guy for 10 years or so, he ain't going anywhere. They know they've had an advantage for some years now. They got to deal with this. And what he's saying is, you got the Georgia boys, but you have to believe that Adam Peters and crew are about to put some guys on the other side, probably from Iowa, that don't give a damn about Georgia. They're gonna put some Cornhuskers over there, mm-hmm. people that could go handle their business. He's right. You got Terry McLaurin and Zach Ertz. When you get a legitimate person who, like I said, shows up every week, hell, in this game, Crowder and Zacchaeus was cooking them. Quinyon Mitchell about to find out. Don't talk trash to Terry McLaurin.
Exactly.
He doesn't do a lot of talking. That dude will perform on you once you open your damn mouth. He's relatively just like Jaden, but he has an edge. And Jaden has an edge as well. But as this team builds, see, the Eagles have been built for 2000 on. This is 2024. Washington now, is this the first year of this rebuild? First year. And they already giving you headaches. Allow them a year, two, three, when they put people together. It's going to be back to how it used to be. We used to call it the black and blue division. It's about to get back to that.
Well, and that's what I like so much about where this team is at right now. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at what they've got, this isn't a playoff roster. It's not. Yeah.
But you got playoff tenacity.
You have
guys who don't quit.
Exactly.
They believe in themselves.
You got coaches that have put their players in position to succeed. You've got players that are going out there and playing well. And you've got a quarterback that makes up for a lot of other problems because he's able to get you out of bad plays.
He's
able to make plays when there's nothing there. That's what was so impressive about Sunday. There was no run game, none whatsoever outside of Jaden.
He made one for you.
Exactly. He was the run game.
Yeah.
And it's not like they have DeVonta Smith on the other side of an A.J. Brown on Washington's side.
Yeah.
You're talking about OZ played well. Jamison Crowder played well.
Yeah.
Those dudes were readily available for anybody. And so the thing that excites me, you talk about year one of a rebuild. This team's going to go to the playoffs, and this is probably the worst roster that Jaden's going to play with, at least during his rookie contract.
But what you don't want to lose as you move forward, when you get better talented, you don't want to lose the mindset that this team has. And what I love about this, old school as I call him, Bobby Wagner will probably be playing on this team again next year. He's still playing football like he's a young man. But if you got the mindset of a Bobby Wagner, a Terry McLaurin, Jeremy Reed, those were the captains this weekend on special teams, and also your quarterback has that mindset, all right? You have a second-round pick in the Samuel Steele who is exactly like Jaden Daniels. Live, breathe, sleeps football. The guy's a student of the game. He comes in like a veteran. He's not the average rookie. The new people that come in here, they have to take on that mindset. And if you build that type, that's how the Washington, the team before, I'm just not going to throw the name out, I don't want to piss off nobody. But the team before, when I got here, when you walked in the door, they let you know this is how we do things. And if these guys can do the exact same thing, imagine what they're doing now with a lower roster and they start getting better talent and they still have that mindset. The league has to worry about that.
Well, and that's where you have to give credit to Adam Peters.
Yeah.
Because anybody can be a Madden general manager where you say, well, he's the best player. I'll pull him out. He's the best player. I'll sign him.
The best player has the worst attitude.
Exactly right. I need guys that are going to be really good players for me on the field but fit with what I'm trying to do in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And there's not a single dude in that locker room now because, by the way, they've weeded a couple dudes out. You alluded to a dude in training camp. You know, there was another dude that they had to let go that was a first-round pick last year. Yeah. They weren't fitting what they were trying to build here, and so they move on. And you see what you're talking about where this Philly game was lost in the first quarter, and they said, no, it's not. We're still going to find a way to win this game. Mm-hmm. We're still in it. And people forget about the fact, too, that they got the ball back with 3 minutes left. They got a chance to go win it. They got a couple timeouts. Jaden, it's on his shoulders. Jaden threw a pick.
Yeah,
that game's over again.
He did,
and yet they still are resilient. Like the
and they
defense,
gave it back
is like,
to him, he said, "I'm not doing this again."
Exact defense. I know Devontae Smith dropped the pass, but the defense comes out there and says, "Let's come up with
people
a stop."
People have drops, don't they?
It happens, and then Jaden said, "You know what? I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm going to go win this football game."
Yeah, the thing about it is, like I've seen some players where you know you go, "Man, I would love to have that guy on my team," and then when you get around them for an extended period of time, you find out why that player ends up on so many different teams. Some of the best players feel like, I just got this talent. I don't have to work. You know, how many guys that you know from Little League or high school, junior high school, that were the best athletes out there, they didn't go on, right? Because those people normally have the mindset that I don't have to work. And the guy that has a little less talent seems to be the worker. And they work even more and more, and all of a sudden they're better than you. And that talent alone is not going to get you over the hump. You got to have work ethic with it. They may not always get the best players, but I think they'll get the most out of their players because of a guy like a Dan Quinn. And this coaching staff here, this coaching staff is loaded with former players.
Mm-hmm.
And when I play, just like now, players normally respect players more. If the coach comes in and the coach tells them something and it constantly works, they will give you the same respect. On this team, you got the coaches like that, and you have players that have been through it before, and it's easier to get more out of them. I said before, we have to coach 1 through 53. Well, they coach 1 through 65. They go all the way through. They want everybody to be able to just step up and play. Too many times we've had coaches come in here before, they coach 22 people. The starting offense, the starting defense, and they don't really put too much emphasis in the other people. Well, that's your damn problem.
Well, and to your point, Chris Rodriguez was on with G&D couple weeks ago after, I forget what game it was, mm-hmm. one of his better performances, and they were asking him about what it's like to be with Dan Quinn as a practice squad member. He said, oh, we don't get called practice squad members. We're part of the team.
And he said that.
That's what he said. Like, we get treated as if we're part of the 53, even though we might be on the practice squad, and I think that shows you the difference, and this is why people love Dan Quinn, by the way. This is why people want to be here. You know, Bobby Wagner comes. This team wasn't supposed to be at 10-5, right?
Mm-hmm.
This team was projected to be a below 500 team or somewhere right around it, not a playoff team. Bobby Wagner, a future Hall of Famer, decided to come here to play. Why? Because of Dan Quinn. Think about the coaching staff. You talked about former players.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the article from Garofolo of NFL Network saying that David Blau, former quarterback for the Lions, he's the assistant quarterback's coach.
I do going to be a head coach.
He's the one who installed the play that won the game
he's
on Sunday.
He's going to be a head coach.
He's fantastic. Yeah. So having those sorts of guys around, I think – you know, we talked about the Cliff for a while there, just whether it was real or not. You talked about how he's willing to be collaborative with the guys on his staff. I think you see that every single week.
That's where I'm lost by a lot of narratives. Because Cliff at the beginning of the year said, before, I only had me to fall back on. He say, now I got former head coaches on the staff. He say, so this offense that we're going to run is going to be a collective group of ideas. So now we're not running whatever it is with red, whatever they called it.
Yeah.
His little offense, they're not running that no more. They're running something that Anthony Lynn got a lot to do with. David Blau got a lot to do with. You know, as much as when I listen to Dan Quinn talking, and he said when he was talking to Cliff, and he is telling Cliff about how defenses want to attack stuff, and that makes you change your offense as well. So they got all kind of influence going on this thing. It's like Joe Gibbs would do. Joe Gibbs, I always talk about how Coach was so smart in what he did, but he took ideas from other people. And that's how you become a head coach, may not have the best, and then when you get that chance again, you succeed because you listen to others and not try to do it all by yourself.
Well, and I think partially, you know, going back to what Chris Long was talking about in the clip we played earlier, I think that's why some Philly fans are a little more mad about this loss. They realize this is the start of something where they're going to have to worry about Jaden. They're going to have to worry about the burgundy and gold again, mm-hmm. where they'd always seem to be a thorn in their side, even though this team hasn't been really good for quite some time.
Yeah.
They beat Philly at times in some big games, but now they're like, they might actually be on our level.
Hey, it's coming. Oh, believe me. Listen, I know a lot of folks there. They know. You know, I'm just saying, I've gotten texts already to my man, that quarterback's a problem. Yes, he is.
Well,
and he's your problem.
And it's funny because in Philly, it seems like there continues to be, now they to their credit this year, they kind of quelled it with the Brandon Graham saying that there's an issue between Jalen and
AJ. They quell what they want to quell. Brandon Graham didn't say that just because 100%. He wanted to say
it. It seems like there's issues there all the time. Sirianni seems to add into it from time to time as well.
Petulant child.
Credit to Washington. There's been nothing, right? There really hasn't been anything. So it's a credit to what Peters has built. It's a credit to Josh Harris for giving Peters the ability to build it. And it's a credit to what the guys in that building, Dan Quinn, the whole coaching staff, has done.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Let's take a break. When we come back, there's been some struggles in the run
Jeff
game.
Wait, told you, Toby. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's exactly right. He said out at 40. We're at 42. So
just so you know, Jeff.
Just for you. I don't know that I will be here Thursday. So bleep you, Jeff. Bleep you. I'll get it early for Christmas Eve. But the run game has really struggled for Washington lately. What's been causing that? We'll talk about it next, John B. Mitch and Finley. You a Christmas music person, B. Mitch?
Yeah.
I like Christmas music.
My dad played Christmas music for damn near 2 weeks every year when Christmas came around.
What's the earliest you can listen? Are you one of those people? I'm one of those people, after Thanksgiving, it's fine. Some people are listening to it in like October.
Listen, man, I really don't care. When the radios start playing and I'm cool with it, I don't fight it, you know? It's just, you know, some of them, they try to go like, they want to get so out there with a Christmas song, they just screw up a classic.
Well, yeah. What was the one y'all were playing yesterday?
Just sing
My Chemical Romance.
Just sing the damn classic and go straight forward. Don't try to bring no different twists and mess up the whole damn thing.
My mother starts listening to Christmas music as she's cleaning up Thanksgiving dinner.
That's fine.
And it's from there on. Every day.
To me, that's fine. You got to still at least acknowledge Thanksgiving, right?
Well, it's over now. At that point, it's over.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez. Once you've eaten, right? Once the football starts, it's like, it's Thanksgiving, but you can move on, right? Yeah.
Hey, man. I mean, you get in the spirit, you keep moving. And I guess at a point, you know, when your kids get older, you lose it. I got grandkids now, so them little things came in, boy. Let me tell you one thing. I have 1-year-old granddaughter. She thinks she runs everything already. I'm listening to yeah. I said, who the hell? She was talking with a little finger in the air. And then the little dude, he runs, and everything you do, he does. So you stretch, you look at him, he's like, he's a copycat. So now the Christmas spirit comes back because you want to make sure they enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because, like, my baby was 22.
Yeah.
And she like, man, look, you're talking about, oh, I see Santa gonna bring something. Yeah, okay, daddy. Yeah, I hear you. You tell that to the babies. Just give me my gift. I can keep moving.
I love it.
You know?
I love it. Commanders have struggled in the run game the last couple of weeks. It really, if you look back, what is it, a 6-game stretch, taking the 3-game losing streak, then the Tennessee game, and then the last 2 games. 5 of the last 6, they've kind of struggled with the run game. Mm-hmm. Specifically the last 2 they have. Is that something that they can fix in the next couple of weeks? Like, what do you feel is the issue with it? To me, it's the interior O-line. They've struggled. Really, what makes no sense to me is I felt like they got dominated by Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis.
Okay.
They're good players, right? That's going to happen. They got dominated last week against New Orleans. They didn't have Biadasz. I think that had a big impact.
They had a huge impact.
But they dominated Jeffrey Simmons and T'Vondre Sweat against Tennessee. So they can do it against good interior D-linemen.
They can
D-linemen.
Do it, but like what happened is when they played the Saints, Biadasz not being there was a major problem. The week prior, they handled business. Look at the Eagles game. The Eagles defense is damn good. And the Eagles came into this game with this mindset. We're not letting them run the ball on us. Okay? And they sold out to stop Robinson. But that's where you have Jaden, where it's like, oh, y'all want to stop that? Go here, stop it. Boom, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I think ultimately, just like the Eagles, when they were winning, running the football, and A.J. started complaining about the pass, you know?
Yeah.
Win the game. You know, we can go into these games and expect a certain recipe every week. Sometimes you got to change it up. You know, I might cook a turkey for Jeff and put the exact same stuff in the turkey for you. Yours might taste just a little different because on that time, I say instead of dropping just a tablespoon of the liquid crab, I'm going to put two. Spice Toby one up a little bit.
I love it.
I adjusted it. You have to take whatever they give you that day. You know, yes, we want to rush for 150 or more every week. But if it doesn't work and you won the game, I think it's a waste of my time to talk about it the rest of the week. They won the football game. That's the major thing. You got a W on your head, I got a W on my head. Yours mean yours the Nationals. Mm-hmm. Mine the Commanders. But guess what? A W means what in all sports? A win.
That's a win, yeah.
That's all you got to get.
And I think, too, when you look at this defense, I didn't think the O-line played particularly well, specifically in the run game, obviously. There was not much aside from Jaden. But I thought in pass protection they were fine. Yeah. In the second half, you saw Philly have to start blitzing to get any pressure. In the first half, they were able to kind of make waves. And when you think about the guys that they have, Jordan Davis is a run stuffer. He's not going to get much pressure on the quarterback. That's what he's there for. Jalen Carter is an impact player.
Yeah.
What's he better at? He's better at playing the run. And so guys like that, I think, are going to stand out. But I think going forward, they're going to need to get some semblance of the run game because when this offense was really rolling, they put up 36 this past week, so you know you can't say they're still rolling. But when they were really rolling, when they felt like they were unstoppable, they had a really
good
run game.
They ran the ball effectively, but what do people do when you do something well?
Oh, they're going to counter it.
They make adjustments.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think just like Saquon Barkley had 109 yards in the first quarter with 4 minutes left, he ended up the game with 150.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up 41 for three quarters and 4 minutes in the first. You make adjustments at times. And the whole thing about it is if Washington know that people are going to sell out to stop the run, have counters to it. More play action passes. Take shots down the field. Guess what you'll do then? You'll make them back out of that, and then now you can run the football on them again.
Well, and I think you saw growth from Jaden in this game because – you think back to some of the previous games where they haven't had much in the run game. New Orleans, they didn't have a lot, but New Orleans isn't very good. I think back to the Ravens game. The Ravens defense isn't that great, but they were good at stopping the run.
Yeah.
And they did not have any run game, and Moore was put on Jaden's plate, and they weren't able to overcome it. You know, they played well enough to win, but they just weren't able to. When you think about this Eagles game, say what you want about the injuries, whatever, I do not care. Jaden Daniels went out and won the football game for Washington because they had no run game. And I think when Cliff finally realized, I got nothing except 5, just said, you go make the plays and go win it, that's how they got that win.
I think 5 early on in the season and all was doing things that was expected and told. 5 has gotten to the position now where he's very comfortable.
Yes.
And he knows when he can take more on and when he doesn't have to take more on. And if something needs to be done, he's going to try and do it. As the season goes on, I just think that is something innate. He's going to do that. And I think he should do it as often as he can. When if he see things aren't working, but I can do something right here, go do it.
One thing I'm curious about, I wonder how much more control he has now of the offense versus at the beginning of the season. You remember in the preseason, he checked a one play, and they're talking about it like, I didn't love it, but he buzzed the tower, whatever. But you remember this game. Mm-hmm. there was a call on, I think it was like 3rd and 10, and you'll hear him calling Remington at the line. Greg Olson talked about it. He checks into a quarterback trap play, first down run. I wonder if he has more control now, because I think you're seeing, like you said, he's much more comfortable. He's kind of putting his stamp on things versus, I'm not going to be robotic and just run the offense. I'm going to be Jaden Daniels.
It's more of the understanding, not necessarily control. He probably had all the same control before as he did then, but he didn't understand it as much. Like, Jaden Daniels, based off of what they were saying, was the first guy to wear this VR stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's seeing things a little better now at this point of the year where, like they always say, if you look how he's playing now, wait till later in the year when he really understands the offense. I think he understands things more, and he sees things that can happen, you know? And then that's why he checks out of stuff or check into different things. The more he learns, so just think about, I'm already thinking about two years from now when he really, really knows his offense like the back of his hand. People got to have a real problem then.
That's Brian Mitchell. I'm Toby Altizer in for J.P. Finley today on B. Mitch and Finley. Barstool Nate joins us next.